All right. We are back with Seed to Sky Radio. This is Erin Siebold, your hostess with the mostest, and we are going to bring on our guest today. Audrey Nelson, PhD, is an internationally recognized trainer, keynote speaker, and consultant. She specializes in gender communication, conflict management, dealing with difficult people, communication skills, and sexual harassment discrimination. Her background includes 10 years of teaching in the Department of Communication at the University of Colorado Boulder, and for 30 years she has trained and consulted for a wide variety of government and Fortune 50 companies in 48 states. She holds a BA, MA, and PhD in communication, and she conducted her postdoctoral work at the Wharnborough College in Oxford, England. And her award-winning research is cited in such books as More Power to You and Communication Between the Sexes. So, Audrey, are you there?
I am.
I could just read on and on about your bio. So I'm just going to let you start talking because I'm like, oh, my goodness, she's just done a lot.
Thanks, Erin. Thanks.
Well, good morning.
Yes, good morning to you, too, at TGIF, huh?
I'm telling you, is this not the most beautiful day outside right now?
It is. And I was listening to you talk about the weather, and I just wish fall was a longer month.
Right.
I'm a big hiker. You know, I don't like it when it's 90 out, but this weather right now, it's just intoxicating.
It is.
It's hard to be inside working. But, Erin, thank you for acknowledging my work, and particularly my work in gender. And the most recent accomplishment I have in that area is co-authoring, as you mentioned, Code Switching, How to Talk So Men'll Listen. And it's been out just for a year now, but I just had a call about 4 or 5 weeks ago from the State Department, and they asked me if I would go to the U.S. Embassy in Seoul, South Korea, and take some of the principles, ideas that I talk about in Code Switching, because Korean women, unfortunately, are where we were, American women, meaning the status of in the workplace, mm-hmm. where we were 3-4 decades ago.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was absolutely fascinating because when I do talk about gender, which has been one of my major areas of focus and research and publications, it's usually comparing primarily, you know, the status of American women. And
right.
I have been an advocate, and I not only research publish in it, I consult. So I'm hired by various organizations. One was one of the top 4 public accounting firms, which is still viable, and they called me to tell them why 75% of their women, new associates they brought in, left within 3 years. So they had real retention and recruitment problems.
Yeah, I would say so.
So it just was fascinating because in Korea, it's a different culture. And a lot of the ideas came from a different systemic root, and it's dictated a lot about from Confucianism, which dictates a lot about what a woman's role should be and how she should behave not only at work but at home. And the most fascinating thing about this, Erin, it's interesting how things play out socio-psychologically, because Korean women have one of the lowest birth rates. So in a way, they're almost saying, we'll show you.
Right.
Because when she gets pregnant, that's the end.
Wow.
There are no female-friendly policies. She is expected to toe the line, not only at work, but also at home. She does not get a whole lot of support or help. And it was just absolutely, I would put it as one of the highlights of my career. So I'm bouncing off of that high, Erin.
Wow.
I'm still riding that wave. And it was just, what a remarkable experience. And it was very intense.
I was going to say, obviously, it sounds extremely serious. I mean, it's something that
it was
you
very serious. Yes.
And who was your audience there? Who were you actually speaking to?
That is the whole thing. My audiences were, I'm sorry, my dogs are in the office. I bet you can hear them in the background.
I'm like, oh, Cujo, hello.
I know. Two Jack Russells get me in trouble every time. My audiences were unreal. I met with the only woman on the Korean Supreme Court. And I guesstimate she was in her late 50s, early 60s.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said to her, how long did it take you to get to this position? She said 25 years. Just remarkable women. And then she took me out to lunch with six other women judges from other courts.
Wow. So there's a lot of women in the judicial system, which is interesting.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Korean women are very ambitious. They're very highly educated. They're very similar to us in many ways. You know, today in the United States, we have more women graduating from college institutions than men.
Mm-hmm.
The second piece is real critical with my clients who have the motto of the best and the brightest. So when they go to recruit from the top business schools, they will say, only give me candidates who have, you know, 3.6, 3.8 or
right,
higher.
Right.
Give me the best and the best. Well, who marches in the room? Predominantly women. So women also graduate with higher GPAs. And it's very similar in Korea. So, you know, what you have in Korea are a lot of well-educated, ambitious, frustrated women.
See, I would have never known. I read a lot, Audrey, in, you know, various publications, and I haven't read that. I mean, it's not publicly known. Would that be accurate?
Yes. And they are, you know, Korea is a formidable world trading partner.
Right.
And, you know, one of my messages to, and I got to tell you, I talked to the two major media publications, or two largest newspapers. I was interviewed by the biggest, largest women's magazine business publication. She was very impressive. I met with the only woman president of their top IT university, four campuses. And she's former politician turned college president. They told me at the embassy they think she'll go back to politics. And the other thing I just want to add, this is an interesting anecdotal thing. I was supposed to address, and I was just so thrilled about this, the National Assembly. The National Assembly in Korea is their Congress. Their building even looks the same as ours. And their demographic composition of the assembly is very similar to ours, roughly 85 members. And out of that, only 8 or 9 are women. And the men are in their 50s and 60s. So they're a little stuck.
Right.
And a little old school.
Right.
And I was supposed to address them. Well, 2 weeks before I go out, Aaron, this is what happens when I get calls from my corporate clients. We've had an incident. And that, you know, that means we're in trouble.
Right.
You need to come in. And their incident was they had a younger. He was about in his mid-40s. I went online, read about it. The embassy called me and said, well, we want to give you a heads up. There's been an incident. You were supposed to address the National Assembly, but we've had a National Assembly men make an inappropriate comment to university women.
Ooh. And that went over well, for sure.
Yeah, essentially it was a what we call from our 1964 Civil Rights Act, which we attached the first sexual harassment laws, quid pro quo, something for something.
Right.
And he made a comment, well, girls, if you want to get ahead, you know what you need to do. And that's, you know,
and that would be
that was 30, 40 years ago. However, if you pick up, you know, you were talking about how you read a lot. If you pick up the New York Times, you'll still see those kinds of incidents
right.
being reported.
Oh, absolutely.
But long story short, there was a little bit of face saving that needed to go on.
Mm.
And they decided to have me address the aides of the National Assembly. And the aides are the up-and-coming future assembly.
And are they younger?
Men. And they're younger.
Got it.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a generational issue, just like there is in this country.
Oh, we have a big one, yeah.
We have a big one. Generation is huge. But we, I'll tell you, Aaron, I am so grateful. I mean, I usually am complaining, oh, we need more help. We're still, you know, this week it's released again. We're still at 77 cents to the dollar that men make. But I got to tell you, those Korean women, you could almost see their jaws drop. Well, what do you do in the United States? How are you protected? I said, are you kidding? We have law.
Right.
I said, I can pick up a phone and call Washington, D.C., the EEOC, and lodge a complaint against my company.
Correct.
And I said, we have laws, and in my client, the HR department, they don't, anyone making inappropriate comments or creating a hostile workplace or a sexually charged workplace, they don't want those people at work.
Right.
They're a liability. I remind them the United States has half the world's lawyers.
Hmm.
And I mean, we are a litigious culture.
Right.
So,
are they looking
anyone
then,
who acts like, yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, are they looking then to formulate some laws? I mean, are they working towards that? Is that,
you know,
why you were there?
Yes. I believe it is part of why I was there.
Okay.
Was on all levels, from the media to the judicial and legal, and to, good grief, half a dozen different women advocacy groups.
Right.
Some business-oriented, some more civic-minded. I had 12-hour days. I had four 12-hour days. I was escorted by an entourage of 3 to 4 members of the assembly who took me everywhere.
Mm, and were you, and was that because, I mean, it wasn't because you were in danger. It was just they were just trying to help.
No.
Okay.
Oh, no. They were sponsoring me. I was the expert from the United States on gender relations.
Got it.
And it is a huge issue in Korea. So,
interesting.
They're looking to reconcile it from the micro level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how women communicate with men, to the macro,
right?
To what kinds of legislation, HR policies, and see, that's what turns me on, Aaron, is the whole making change,
right?
You know,
well, I definitely
change.
Would love for you to chat a little bit more about the gender communication. I know the first mm-hmm. presentation that I heard from you a couple years ago was fascinating, and I'm certain that since from then to now, there's been new data and information that you have, and the whole code switching book, and you know, and just talking about how we've evolved or not in the last few years from your last conversation. So, what I think we'll do is we'll take a small break. We're going to come back and answer a few questions that we've got on the Ustream, and then
good.
I'd like for you to, if you don't mind, get into that
sure.
Here in the U.S. and see where we are.
Sure, you bet.
All right, Audrey, thank you. Welcome back. We're on Sea to Sky Radio and CastleRockRadio.com, and we have Audrey Nelson on the phone, who is talking about communication, specifically gender communication, and the interesting trip she just made to Seoul, Korea, to address the workforce there that are women, which is fascinating. And Audrey, we have a pretty large amount here of questions. So if you don't mind, before we get into our next segment, if I could give you some of the comments and questions on the Ustream, and we could address those real quick. Do you mind?
You bet. Oh, I enjoy it. I like questions.
Okay. We have the first question says, are women advancing in business faster in the U.S. or in Europe? And then what countries do you feel are most progressive countries in leveling the gender playing field?
Mm-hmm. Okay, two responses to that. First, in terms of industrialized nations, we're doing well, America compared to other European countries, Scandinavian countries. However, there are much stronger policies. People almost fall over when I share these in my seminars. And with my clients, in terms of trying to create, we used to call it female-friendly, and it was really my generation, the boomer generation, because we were the first to begin entering the workforce in droves,
mm-hmm.
but we were still having babies, so it was
right.
the whole balancing issue. So we began the whole what we would call female-friendly policies. Now we call them family-friendly policies, because not only do they benefit women, but they allow men also to be involved in home life.
Correct.
And that balancing act. So there are countries, hands down, that are light years ahead of us. So we can take a country, for example, like Sweden. So when we ask about the question of how does America fare, we fare okay. And again, when we talk about women in the workplace, we also need to talk about workplace policies that allow her to have that balance. So in Sweden, for example, they have paid maternity or paternity leave, minimum 6 months up to a year. They have free childcare, starting in preschool toddler ages that is very superior in the way these schools are run and what the children get from their academic background there. So we do all right.
Right.
We're not the best.
Right. I'd imagine that would be the case. I've heard a lot about Sweden. It's interesting. I think they just had a study about some of the best countries to live in, and Sweden was up in like the top three or something, which, of course, not a place where I'd want to go, but I mean, it sounds lovely to visit. Another question that we have is, what industries do you think are more open to female executive leadership? I've been blown away by how many women are running the world's largest technology and telecom companies.
Really? I'm not blown away by the number of women running them, because there aren't that many.
And I will agree with that. In fact, I get Working Mother magazine and Entrepreneur magazine does come out with the list. And there's two different lists. There's the list of the companies that they celebrate, who have women on the board, who have women as their executive leaders. And then Working Women actually comes out with a list of who not to celebrate, which has less than a certain percentage of women involved in their leadership and or board positions.
Sure.
And I think that's brilliant, because it lets those working women understand who those companies are, and you choose to support or not based on those decisions.
Right.
So I agree with you.
Yes, I just, and particularly in engineering, but let me begin with this. There are still professions that are dominated by men. And generally, one of them is engineering and the whole IT industry.
Right.
And it's very tough for women. And we can just start right in college and university programs, where women are still only composed 20-25% of the student body in engineering and technological computer science majors. And another stat to look at is only about 2.5% of CEOs in Fortune 500 companies are women. So there are some that are more female-friendly, and generally, the old rule stands, it's a paradox. It's the more the nurturing profession.
Right.
But it'll be interesting, because you'll look at teaching, you'll look at nursing, you'll look at social work, healthcare. So you'll see women in the ranks, but not necessarily in the high-level administrative.
Yeah,
Not many women principals,
right,
but a lot of female teachers.
It's interesting. So, I just started working locally here, Audrey, with the Job Corps Center. And
right.
What they are really good at doing, and what they're looking to help have happen, is bringing more young women into their training, which includes non-traditional jobs for women. And some of those, of course, now the big buzzword is the green jobs. Technology, automotive, science, any of those, types of industries are where they want to incorporate, more of the female gender. And then, of course, they do that also for the men with nursing, paralegal work, things like that. But really, I think what they're trying to accomplish is awesome, and it's a national program. I just, they came to me because they just don't have the young girls that are being fed. So I'm actually working on a pipeline program, which I'd love to share with you offline.
I'd like to hear more about
that. Yeah, talks about bringing young girls into, you know, those roles.
So important.
Absolutely.
And that's where it starts. But I don't like to be the deliverer and ring the bell of bad news. I also like to talk about the things that are going right. And here's something that I have loved seeing. Law schools are now 50-50.
Nice.
We've got as many women as men in law schools. And some of my clients, including right here in Colorado, have been the biggest and largest and oldest law firms. And I got to tell you, I would conduct in my consulting a cultural snapshot and then present to them a report of what the issues are in their law firm, why they can't retain women, why don't they have more female partners, et cetera. Well, that's all going to start to go away big time in the next decade.
Right.
Because the pipeline, as you just referred to it, and that's where it all starts, Erin, is beginning to feed women attorneys. So med school is the same thing, about 50-50. But again, we see a little bit of a skew of specialized areas of medicine, which are still dominated by men, and surgeons, for example.
Right, right.
So but it is changing, but change comes slow, but it is happening. And so that's encouraging. To see that. And we should also add, and Erin, you and I are a part of these, this tribe, you know, there are more women open small businesses than men by a ratio of roughly 5 to 1.
Right. And I think that's changed. Even increased perhaps this last year?
No, it has. I think a lot of that is also driven by the economy.
Correct.
But we have more women entrepreneurs because basically they're motivated by the same thing I know I am. Which is, I don't want anything holding me back.
Right.
And I don't want any sticky floor. I don't want any glass ceiling. So it's just something that it is starting to happen. I want to encourage the readers to Google me, Audrey Nelson, or go to my website, which is www.audreynelson. And they can have an opportunity to jump on my email list, which is an email blast I send monthly that has a smart talk column, which I address all kinds of communication issues. But I have a lot of background on the very kinds of things we're talking about. We also have a great website for the book, codeswitching.biz, B-I-Z. So check that out, too.
So, you know, I know that, like I said, we talked a little bit about the past presentation that I had heard, and you talked specifically at that presentation about what women say and what men hear and vice versa.
Right.
And so I'd love to have you talk a little bit more about that and about listening.
Sure. Listening's big. And in my own piece of research I conducted about 5 years ago, where I asked men and women, what do they perceive are men and women's greatest strength in communication, and what's our greatest weakness? And hands down, the number one complaint about men was that men don't listen. And you could pick up any popular woman's magazine, you'll find that same mantra.
We're laughing here in the studio, Audrey, because MT's behind the glass and he's making faces.
You know, I want to defend men here for a moment and say it's just not that superficial or easy to make that claim. But here's how it goes. When a woman is sharing something with a man, her motivation for sharing her story, her anecdote, her interaction she just had with a vendor is not always to get a solution or a fix. In a man's world, he is action-oriented, and he believes he has to fix it, solve it, kill it, and drag it back to the cave for her. Men do listen. In fact, I challenge people. I said, ask a man what you just said. He will actually summarize it by categorizing it, enumerating. Well, you just said three things. The budget proposal isn't going to go for three reasons. And he'll go right through it. Now, here's the real issue for women. Women, and this is why women have girlfriends and need girlfriends. And I'm not saying men aren't capable of this. They are. It just isn't a part of our socialization process. But I know many women who are great empathetic listeners. So when a woman talks, she wants him to be an empathetic, understanding listener. You know, and a lot of men don't get that. They go, what do you mean, Audrey? Should I just sit there like a bump on the log? I said, no, she wants you to resonate with her feelings.
Right.
Oh, that must have been frustrating when you dealt with that vendor. You know, how confusing and that's what she wants. So to say he doesn't listen isn't quite fair. He may not just listen the way she would like him to listen. Now, in his defense, when you ask a woman a question, and this is why we promote in code switching the pyramid style, if she could answer in one word or one sentence, that would be heaven for him. So instead,
I don't possess that skill, unfortunately.
No, none of us do. I get so process-oriented sometimes when I'm training. I'll say to the group, what point were we talking about? Because I get into the details, I get lost in it, and I forget what the end point, what the topic was at that moment.
Audrey, that, because I know this for my, and everybody who knows me and deals with me knows this too, is when someone asks a question, I get a flurry of information to my brain that I want to spew out.
Exactly.
And get, you know, and it's not just a response. Like, usually I can't just respond with yes, no, maybe. More normally it's like this big, you know, conversation that comes from even just a small question for me. And I don't know if that's a blessing or a curse, but well, let me do this. I'm going to wrap up this segment real quick, and we're going to come back with Audrey here shortly and answer a few more questions and then bring on Lisa from Axion. And we are back with Sea to Sky Radio. This is Erin Siebold, and we are talking with Audrey Nelson about communication. And Audrey, I just want to thank you so much for coming on today. The time flies when you're having fun. And
thank you, Erin.
I want to make sure that everyone can find you. So I know you repeated that last segment, but if you don't mind sharing with everyone how they can get in touch with you,
sure.
That would be wonderful.
Sure. My email's real easy, audrey@audreynelson.com. If you forget everything, just Google Audrey, and it's A-U-D-R-E-Y, Nelson, and I'm the first that comes up. And please check out the website for our new book, co-authored with Claire Brown, my colleague and long-term friend. And that is www.codeswitching.biz. And Erin, thank you so much for this opportunity.
You are welcome, and I'm actually posting that on our stream.
Thank you.
So that they have that as well from there.
Great.
So thank you so much for coming on, as always, Audrey. It's wonderful to chat with you, and I look forward to seeing you in these circles in which I run here in town and hearing you speak again about code switching. That'll be awesome.
Thank you, Erin. I'll look forward to that.
All right. Have a great day. So we have...